The Pendant Shakespeare presents Chapter 7 of Henry VI, Part 2.
Now is Mortimer lord of this city, and here, sitting upon London Stone, I charge and command that, of the city's cost, the pissing conduit run nothing but claret wine this first year of our reign. And now henceforth it shall be treason for any that calls me other than Lord Mortimer.
Jack Cade! There's an army gathered together in Smithfield!
Knock him down there!
Ha! If this fellow be wise, he'll never call ye Jack Cade more. I think he hath a very fair warning.
My lord, there's an army gathered together in Smithfield.
Come then, let's go fight with them. But first, go and set London Bridge on fire. And, if you can, burn down the tower, too. Come, let's away. So, sirs, now go some and pull down the Savoy. Others to the inns of court. Down with them all.
I have a suit unto your lordship.
Be it a lordship, thou shalt have it for that word.
Only that the laws of England may come out of your mouth.
Mass told me so low then, for he was thrust in the mouth with the spear, and 'tis not whole yet.
Nay, John, it'll be stinking law, for his breath stinks with eating toasted cheese.
I have thought upon it. It shall be so. Away, burn all the records of the realm. My mouth shall be the Parliament of England.
Then we are like to have biting statutes, unless his teeth be pulled out.
And henceforth, all things shall be in common.
My lord, a prize, a prize. Here's the Lord Say, which sold the towns in France. He that made us pay 1 and 20 fifteens and 1 shilling to the pound, the last subsidy.
Well, he shall be beheaded for it 10 times. Ah, thou say, thou surge, nay, thou buckram lord, now art thou within point blank of our jurisdiction regal. What canst thou answer to my majesty for giving up of Normandy unto Monsieur Bassemecue, the dolphin of France? Be it known unto thee, by these presents, even the presence of Lord Mortimer, that I am the besom that must sweep the court clean of such filth as thou art. Thou hast most traitorously corrupted the youth of the realm in erecting a grammar school. And whereas, before, our forefathers had no other books but the score and the tally, thou hast caused printing to be used, and, contrary to the king, his crown and dignity, thou hast built a paper mill. It will be proved to thy face that thou hast men about thee that usually talk of a noun and a verb and such abominable words as no Christian ear can endure to hear. Thou hast appointed justices of peace to call poor men before them about matters they were not able to answer. Moreover, thou hast put them in prison, and because they could not read, thou hast hanged them, when, indeed, only for that cause they have been most worthy to live. Thou dost ride in a footcloth, dost thou not?
What of that?
Mary, thou oughtest not to let thy horse wear a cloak when honester men than thou go in their hose and doublets.
And work in their shirt, too. As myself, for example, that am a butcher.
You men of Kent!
What say you of Kent?
Nothing but this. 'Tis bona terra mala gens.
Away with him! He speaks Latin.
Hear me but speak, and bear me where you will. Kent, in the commentaries Caesar writ, is termed the civilest place of this isle. Sweet is the country, because full of riches, the people liberal, valiant, active, wealthy, which makes me hope you are not void of pity. I sold not Maine. I lost not Normandy. Yet to recover them would lose my life. Justice with favor have I always done. Prayers and tears have moved me. Gifts could never. When have I aught exacted at your hands but to maintain the king, the realm, and you? Large gifts have I bestowed on learned clerks because my book preferred me to the king. And seeing ignorance is the curse of God, knowledge the wing wherewith we fly to heaven. Unless you be possessed with devilish spirits, you cannot but forbear to murder me. This tongue hath parlayed unto foreign kings for your behoof.
Tut! When struckst thou one blow in the field?
Great men have reaching hands. Oft have I struck those that I never saw and struck them dead. These cheeks are pale for watching for your good.
Give him a box of the ear, and that will make him red again.
Long sitting to determine poor men's causes hath made me full of sickness and diseases.
Why dost thou quiver, man?
The palsy, and not fear, provokes me.
Nay, he nods at us, as who should say, I'll be even with you. I'll see if his head will stand steadier on a pole or no. Take him away and behead him.
Tell me, wherein have I offended most? Have I affected wealth or honor? Speak! Are my chests filled up with the extorted gold? Is my apparel sumptuous to behold? Whom have I injured that ye seek my death? These hands are free from guiltless bloodshedding. This breast from harboring foul, deceitful thoughts. Oh, let me live!
I feel remorse in myself with his words, but I'll bridle it. He shall die, and it be but for pleading so well of his life. Away with him! He has a familiar under his tongue. He speaks not a God's name. Go, take him away, I say, and strike off his head presently, and then break into his son-in-law's house, Sir James Cromer, and strike off his head, and bring them both upon two poles hither.
It shall be done.
Ah, countrymen, if when you make your prayers, God should be so obdurate as yourselves, how would it fare with your departed souls? And therefore yet relent, and save my life.
Away with him, and do as I command ye. The proudest peer in the realm shall not wear a head on his shoulders unless he pay me tribute. There shall not a maid be married, but she shall pay to me her maidenhead ere they have it. Men shall hold of me and cap it, and we charge and command that their wives be as free as heart can wish or tongue can tell.
My lord, when shall we go to Cheapside and take up commodities upon our bills?
Marry, presently.
Oh, brave!
Very brave.
But is not this braver? Let the heads kiss one another, for they loved well when they were alive. Now part them again, lest they consult about the giving up of some more towns in France. Soldiers, defer the spoil of the city until night. For with these born before us, instead of maces, will we ride through the streets, and at every corner have them kiss. Away! Up Fish Street, down St. Magnus Corner, kill and knock down, throw them into the Thames. What noise is this I hear? Dare any be so bold to sound retreat or parley when I command them kill?
Aye, here they be that dare and will disturb thee. No, Cade. We come, ambassadors from the king unto the commons whom thou hast misled, and here pronounce free pardon to them all that will forsake thee and go home in peace.
What say ye, countrymen? Will ye relent and yield to mercy whilst 'tis offered you? Or let a rebel lead you to your deaths? Who loves the king and will embrace his pardon, fling up his cap and say, God save his majesty? Who hateth him and honors not his father, Henry V, that made all France to quake? shake he his weapon at us and pass by.
God save the king!
What, Buckingham and Clifford, are ye so brave? And you, base peasants, do ye believe him? Will you need to be hanged with your pardons about your necks? Hath my sword therefore broke through London gates, that you should leave me at the White Hart in Southwark? I thought ye would never have given out these arms till you had recovered your ancient freedom, but you are all recreants and dastards, and delight to live in slavery to the nobility. Let them break your backs with burthens, take your houses over your heads, ravish your wives and daughters before your faces. For me, I will make shift for one, and so God's curse light upon you all.
Jack! Is Cade the son of Henry V, that thus you do exclaim you'll go with him? Will he conduct you through the heart of France, and make the meanest of you earls and dukes? Alas, he hath no home, no place to fly to, nor knows he how to live but by the spoil, unless by robbing of your friends and us. Or it's not a shame that whilst you live at Jar, the fearful French, whom you late vanquished, should make a start overseas and vanquish you. Methinks, already in this civil broil, I see them lording it in London streets, crying, Viliago, unto all they meet. Better 10,000 base-born Cades miscarry than you should stoop unto a Frenchman's mercy. To France, and get what you have lost. Spare England, for it is your native coast. Henry has money. You are strong and manly. God on our side, doubt not a victory.
Clifford!
Was ever feather so lightly blown to and fro as this multitude? The name of Henry V hails them to 100 mischiefs, and makes them leave me desolate. I see them lay their heads together to surprise me. Heavens and honor be witness, that no want of resolution in me, but only my followers' base and ignominious treasons, makes me betake to my heels.
What? Is he fled? Go some and follow him. He that brings his head unto the king shall have 1,000 crowns for his reward.
Was ever king that joyed an earthly throne and could command no more content than I? No sooner was I crept out of my cradle, but I was made a king at 9 months old. I was never subject long to be a king, as I do long and wish to be a subject.
Health and glad tidings to your majesty.
Why, Buckingham, is the traitor Cade surprised? Or is he but retired to make him strong?
He has fled, my lord, and all his powers do yield. And humbly thus, with halters on their necks, expect your highness's doom of life or death.
Then heaven set ope thy everlasting gates to entertain my vows of thanks and praise. Soldiers,
shh, 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 shh.
This day you have redeemed your lives and showed how well you love your prince and country. Continue still in this good mind, and Henry, though he be infortunate, assure yourselves will never be unkind. And so with thanks and pardon to you all, I do dismiss you to your several countries.
God save the king!
Please it your grace to be advertised, the Duke of York is newly come from Ireland, and with a puissant and a mighty power of gallowglasses and stout kerns, is marching hitherward in proud array, and still proclaimeth, as he comes along, his arms are only to remove from thee the Duke of Somerset, whom he terms traitor.
Thus stands my state, twixt Cade and York distressed, like to a ship that, having scaped a tempest, is straightway calmed and boarded with a pirate. But now is Cade driven back, his men dispersed, and now is York in arms to second him. I pray thee, Buckingham, go and meet him, and ask him what's the reason of these arms. Tell him I'll send Duke Edmund to the tower, and Somerset will commit thee thither until his army be dismissed from him.
My lord, I'll yield myself to prison willingly or unto death to do my country good.
In any case, be not too rough in terms, for he is fierce and cannot brook hard language.
I will, my lord, and doubt not so to deal, as all things shall redound unto your good.
Come, wife, let's in and learn to govern better. For yet may England curse my wretched reign.
Fie on ambition! Fie on myself that have a sword and yet am ready to famish! These 5 days have I hid me in these woods and durst not peep out, for all the country is laid for me. But now am I so hungry that if I might have a lease of my life for 1,000 years, I could stay no longer. Wherefore, on a brick wall, have I climbed into this garden to see if I can eat grass or pick a salad another while, which is not amiss to cool a man's stomach this hot weather. And I think this word salad was born to do me good. For many a time, but for a salad, my brain pan had been cleft with a brown bill. And many a time, when I have been dry and bravely marching, it hath served me instead of a quart pot to drink in. And now the word salad must serve me to feed on.
Lord, who would live turmoiled in the court, and may enjoy such quiet walks as these? This small inheritance my father left me contenteth me, and worth a monarchy. I seek not to wax great by others' waning, or gather wealth, I care not with what envy. Sufficeth that I have maintains my state, and sends the poor well pleased from my gate.
Here's the lord of the soil come to seize me for a stray, for entering his fee simple without leave. Ah, villain, thou wilt betray me, and get 1,000 crowns of the king, carrying my head to him, but I'll make thee eat iron like an ostrich, and swallow my sword like a great pin, ere thou and I part.
Why, rude companion, whatsoe'er thou be, I know thee not. Why, then, should I betray thee? Is't not enough to break into my garden, and like a thief to come to rob my grounds? Climbing my walls in spite of me, the owner? But thou wilt brave me with these saucy terms.
Brave thee? Aye, by the best blood that ever was broached, and beard thee too. Look on me well. I have eat no meat these 5 days, yet come thou and thy 5 men. And if I do not leave you all as dead as a doornail, I pray God I may never eat grass more.
Nay, it shall ne'er be said while England stands that I, Alexander Iden, an esquire of Kent, took odds to combat a poor famished man. Oppose thy steadfast gazing eyes to mine.
Ugh!
See if thou canst outface me with thy looks. Set limb to limb, and thou art far the lesser. Thy hand is but a finger to my fist, thy leg a stick compared with this truncheon. My foot shall fight with all the strength thou hast, and if mine arm be heaved in the air, thy grave is digged already in the earth. As for words, whose greatness answers words, let this my sword report what speech forbears.
Oh, by my valor, the most complete champion that ever I heard. Steel, if thou turn the edge, or cut not out the burly-boned clown in chines of beef, ere thou sleep in thy sheath, I beseech God on my knees, thou mayst be turned to hobnails. Oh, I am slain. Wither, garden, and be henceforth a burying place to all that do dwell in this house. Because the unconquered soul of Cade is fled.
Is't Cade that I have slain? That monstrous traitor? Sword, I will hallow thee for this thy deed, and hang thee o'er my tomb when I am dead.
I then farewell, and be proud of thy victory. Tell Kent from me, she hath lost her best man, and exhort all the world to be cowards, for I, that never feared any, am vanquished by famine, not by valor.
How much thou wrongest me, heaven be my judge. Die, damned wretch, the curse of her that bare thee. And as I thrust thy body in with my sword, so wish I might thrust thy soul to hell. Hence will I drag thee headlong by the heels unto a dunghill, which shall be thy grave, and there cut off thy most ungracious head, which I will bear in triumph to the king, leaving thy trunk for crows to feed upon.
The Pendant Shakespeare, also known as the Wild Bill Variety Show, presents Chapter 7 of Henry VI, Part 2. Featuring the voice talents of Bruce Davis as Jack Cade, Justine Leah Hintz as the Soldier, Gareth Bowley as Smith, Josh Kibbe as Dick the Butcher, Kirsty Wolven as Holland, Jeff Robinson as the Messenger and Iden, Kendra Murray as Lord Say, E. Rachel Ward as Buckingham, Loretta Chang as Lord Clifford, Emmeline Tuck as King Henry VI, and Russell Gold as Somerset. Audio adaptation by Morgan Z. Soule. Directed by Jeff Robinson. Produced by Pendant Productions. This production is copyright 2024, Pendant Productions.
For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.